Parce.
This is George Ancisco. I'm interviewing Paul Young in Fayetteville, Arkansas on April 1st, 1994. Please state your full name and your date of birth.
Paul Young, Jr. I was born September 21st, 1913 in Gilmer, Texas.
Go on.
My family moved to Little Rock when I was about 4 years old. During World War I, my father was assigned to an airfield out at Lone Oak, Arkansas, that never did graduate a single aviator. The war ended before the first graduate class, but we stayed in Little Rock, and I grew up in Little Rock, attended school there, and graduated from high school there in 1929.
Okay. How did you get started with the CCC? How did that work out?
Well, back in those days when I finished high school, there was not a construction job in the state. It was in the depths of the Depression after the crash, stock market crash in October of 29.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just fresh out of school, and I couldn't beg, borrow, or steal enough money to go to college that year, so I went to work in a neighborhood filling station out in Pulaski Heights. I'd always been very fond of hunting dogs, and I've always had nice dogs. And I was at this filling station working one snowy winter night, and a good-looking bird dog came to the door and wanted in. It was pretty late, about 8:30, 9 o'clock. I opened the door, and the dog came in, and I started petting it. It had a nice collar on it, and I looked at it, and it had Guy Amsler's name on the collar. So I had a little payphone in the station. It was a Gulf station there at Hillcrest, in Little Rock. So I at last decided to spend a nickel and drop it in the telephone and call Mr. Amsler, because I'd want him to do the same thing for me if it was my dog. And I called him, and he was delighted to find his dog and find out where he missed it for a day or two. And he told me if I'd just hold it there for a moment, why, he'd be right after it. And he came, and he offered me a reward, but I told him I didn't want to take a reward because I didn't know anything except telephoning. So time passed, and I was working at that station there, there at Hillcrest, like I said. And one day in the Gazette, I saw a picture of some Dodge dump trucks that had been assigned to Boyle Park over there. That was part of the park system at that time. And the boy that manages the station, it had formerly been a company-operated station, and they had decided they'd put them all on commission. And he was a young man that lived way over north of the Rock, and he had just gotten married and had a little baby. And my parents at that still owned an apartment about a couple of blocks from Hillcrest where I lived with my mother. And they hadn't repossessed it yet. We were still living there in the Depression days. So he asked me if I would work for him for a dollar a day, and I told him I would. And I'd open that station in the morning for him, because it took him about 2 hours to get to work from over North Little Rock on the streetcar, and I'd close it for him at night. We had to stay open until about 9 or 10 o'clock. I was up in Wichita. So when I saw those pictures of those trucks over there, I knew he needed the business bad, so I decided I'd go over there at the ballpark and find out. But I knew they had to have gasoline to run them. And so they said they'd bought gasoline on a competitive bid basis, and that it had to be renewed every 3 months or 6 months or something like that. So I asked them to notify me the next time they did, took the competitive bids, and they let me know. And we went, the Gulf agent, Mr. J.B. Thomas, there at Little Rock at the time, I told him, and he went over and put in a bid and got the business. And then that was the closest station to Boyle Park at the time. So we got to sell more gasoline. So it wasn't long until Mr. Thomas offered me, but before that, he did offer me a job as an assistant filling station and superintendent, and I'd go around and pick up the cash receipts from the day before at each one of the stations. But before I took that job with Gulf Refining Company, one day after he got the business, why, the National Park Service a representative of Mr. McComb,
yeah,
from Denver, mm-hmm, drove in, and I waited on him, and I serviced his car,
uh-huh,
and cleaned it out and brushed it out and checked the oil and the grease and everything for him, and he gave me a charge credit card from Gulf for, and so I got a visiting with him, and I said, I got to talk to him about what they're doing at the ballpark.
Mm-hmm.
And he told me what they plan to do with state parks in Arkansas. I said, well, I sure wish I could get into that line of business. I studied architecture at school, mm-hmm, but I'd gone away to college. I'd gone, I think, 2 years at that time.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, well, we're going to be hiring technical personnel. I said, why don't you bring some of your work and come over to the Capitol Building there and see me at the... It was the Game and Fish Commission then. Mm-hmm. Guy Amster was commissioner.
Mm-hmm.
So I did that. I took it over there, and darned if he didn't hire me. So I went to work in the Capitol Building in the Game and Fish Commission when we first... And they sent me down to Miss Thomas Harding's office in the Donaghy Building.
What year was that?
Now that must have been 34.
Okay.
It was the earlier part of, it was the latter part of 33 and the early part of 34. Because I'm a little confused on those dates back then. I had thought I came to Fayetteville and got assigned, well anyway, and I was working there, and mm-hmm, after we worked on the lodge up at Pettigene,
mm-hmm,
but then Mr. McComb sent me up there, mm-hmm, to Pettigene, and I was there at the time when he drove in one day and said we're going to have a new park up in Northwest Arkansas out of Fayetteville, mm-hmm, that was then, and so I'm going to assign you to that park up there. Well, that just pleased me no end, because I wanted to live in Arkansas,
mm-hmm,
and I had no architectural school at the University of Arkansas, but I always wanted to come. I considered changing over to engineering, but I always wanted to come to Fayetteville.
Mm-hmm.
And at last, for an opportunity to come to Fayetteville, it was happening, and I was thrilled about that. Well, anyway, I came up here and had illusions of going out there and living with the Hoot Owls on Lees Creek and working hard and saving my money and everything,
uh-huh,
and I been out there about 2 or 3 weeks, and I couldn't get to town fast enough to see the bright lights, so I came into Fayetteville and got started getting acquainted with people here.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't long till I met a young lady and got married to her, and she was a youngest daughter of George Appleby, who,
mm-hmm,
at that time was on the Highway Commission under Governor Bailey.
Okay.
Way back in the about mid-30s, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
So I was out. There were two camps,
mm-hmm,
at Devil's Den. One, Brian Stearns, was the superintendent of the first camp, and it had already been established when I was sent up here.
Okay.
And then I was assigned to the second camp, that was Sam Watkins, was the superintendent of the,
okay,
second camp. And so I... went out there and went to work, along with all the young men. They had, I guess, about 400, or was it 200 in each camp, or 400?
That's a good question.
I think it was 400. I can't remember.
That sounds right, because all the jobs required so many men,
uh-huh,
to do them. I think 400 would have.
And... I had done the design and drawings on some of the permanent structures, and I came into Fayetteville and stayed in here on weekends some,
mm-hmm,
but I had kind of difficulty meeting people here at first. Mm-hmm. I went back to Little Rock, and I remember we had our construction foreman. Three of them lived down towards Little Rock. Mm-hmm. One of them, Mr. Fizer at Marlton, and another man, I've forgotten his name, lived at, he was either at Marlton or Russell. Mr. Fizer may have been at Russell. Anyway, it was two of them lived in Russell or Marlton. I've got mm-hmm. which. And we would go back down on the weekends because they wanted to go back and visit their family. Mm-hmm. And I'd go back to Little Rock and see my family mm-hmm. and my mother and brothers that lived there at the time. So that was the way I got connected up with the National Park Service. And I see by reading this history here that was written by the architectural department. What did I do with it? Here it is right here. By Ms. Rollett, that someplace in here they listed me as the architectural foreman. But now I was assigned to the National Park Service, and I was technically, I think I was assigned as the architect
okay.
for that project.
Okay. So you were like, I guess, almost a consultant.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Well, but not a consultant to them, but I did the work there mm-hmm. at the park in the mm-hmm. office when I made these drawings, mm-hmm. some of them.
Did you stay, okay, you said that you stayed at the camp during the week.
Oh, yes. We lived in the barrack building there. We had a separate barrack building. You want to see the pictures of
yes.
what the camp looked like at that time? Here. And here is the lower camp. This is down in the park, down there in that
okay.
area. Now see some of the cabins up on the hill,
right?
Up
yeah.
in the timber there.
So the barracks.
Now these are the barrack buildings
okay.
here, and let me see this one right here. That's the one end of that bathhouse building that's behind me.
Okay. There. Did you know that's no longer standing?
Yeah, that's burned.
Oh, that's what happened to it. Okay.
Yes, the foundation is there.
Okay. That's because we've been trying to figure out, we found the picture of that building
uh-huh.
in this book, in the Parks yeah. and Recreation Structure book.
Oh, was the entire structure built as planned there?
I'm not sure. You would probably know that more than I would. But we talked to the people
uh-huh.
up at
yeah.
Devil's Den,
uh-huh.
and they weren't really sure what had
yes,
happened
this
with
is
it,
it,
but
right
it did burn.
And this end of it, the left end, that's the north end there.
Uh-huh.
That's it right there, see?
Okay.
And it seems to me I live back up in here, one of these barracks up in here.
How many barracks were there? Do you remember?
Well, now, see, I was not assigned to this camp. This was Brian Stern's camp.
Oh, okay.
And I was assigned to the one that lives up on top of the hill, a man by the name of Reef.
Mm-hmm.
Delbert Reef is banker at Prairie Grove, his father's farm up there. It was right outside mm-hmm. the boundaries up at the top of the mountain coming back towards West Fork.
Okay.
And the first camp, this is the first camp,
mm-hmm.
they've roughed in and built the road down mm-hmm. Down the mountain there into the park. And that was about the time I went out there. You could just get in. I have other pictures. Here's where we were building the foundation piers for the bridge across Cleese Creek. They're in the park.
Oh, the big one, yeah.
The big one. And see, it's gone now. They replaced it with a reinforced concrete
yes.
structure.
It's awful.
Uh-huh. And you know those big stones that we used,
uh-huh.
and we just picked them up out of both the hillsides and everything. We had no equipment, heavy equipment to handle them with.
Mm-hmm.
We just did it with gin poles. And one of those stones rolled over on one of the CCC boys one day, and he died.
Wow.
And that stone we put in the wall over there at the north end of this bridge,
uh-huh.
and we cut a cross in it. And I've seen it there several times, but the last time I was down there, I don't know where the what do they call them, leeches that grow on the rocks.
Oh, right.
Had
it covered it up. Hmm.
And but it was visible there for many, many, many long years. And that's the part. Now there's another There's Lee's Creek at flood stage when they were building the dam.
Wow.
We had this gin pole here that we used to handle those big stones we put in the dam.
Mm-hmm. That's amazing.
Now, here are other views. This, you know, this building right here,
the
overlook. I did that.
I think, do I have a plan for that one in there?
I don't know who you do it. I don't think so.
Okay.
I've never seen the, I don't have a copy of the plan for this.
Let's see. We have a picture of that one in
yes.
here.
Is
at Petagene.
Yeah. Well, here's a picture of it right here in this. I did this, the design on this.
Okay.
The drawings on it.
Okay, that's great to know.
Well, I was surprised at what was said here. I had forgotten that they had written this about that. always the way I would want some. Now, here's the camp. Here's the superintendent. Sam Watkins with a doctor.
Mm-hmm.
I was injured down there because they were building the dam. Just when the phone came, showed up one day, it was on I had located, staked out the cabins up on the hill, and he wanted to go down in the park and see the cabin location.
Uh-huh.
And it was the day that Arkansas played the Texas football game, and I had bought two tickets, and I was coming in town and go to the football game, mm-hmm. and he showed up and wanted me to stay down there.
So, oh, no.
Well, we didn't have any way to go down in the park mm-hmm. except by these old Dodge dump trucks mm-hmm. in this picture here. And so we got one of the drivers to take us down there. So, mm-hmm. of course, Mr. McComb sat up in the front seat with him, and I sat back in that steel bed. And we went down that mountain and got down there. We were crossing the creek, and we did that before the creek, and just real rough and chug holes and everything. And I was sitting back there in that sealed bed, and I kind of held myself up by the time they hit a bump, and I was lowering myself back down
mm-hmm.
in the bed when he hit another one, and he came up and hit me right in the tailbone there and fractured my bone. And that night I was at the camp where I lived up at mm-hmm. top of the hill.
Mm-hmm.
I lived in the Army Barracks building just like this mm-hmm. up there on Mr. Reese's farm. They had about four or five of them up there
mm-hmm.
or more. I forgot to house all the boys from that camp. And he was a doctor. the captain was in charge of the military that supervised the CGC was. And then he had an assistant and then the doctor. And this I woke the man up and slept in the top next to me there, real cold. We had no heat, there was cracks in the wall you could see through.
Oh.
And we had a little potbelly wood uh-huh. stove out in the middle there to keep us warm. And I woke up in the middle of the night with this excruciating pain. And I waked up the masonry foreman, mm-hmm. a fellow by the name of Walker. His name's mentioned in here.
Okay.
So he slept next to me. And he got up and went and got the doctor and came down there. And they gave me some painkillers or something, pain tablets. And the next morning they brought me in Fayetteville here to the hospital. I was in the hospital for a couple of weeks before I left. Mm-hmm. But
I never will forget that experience.
I guess not.
And I missed the football game too. Didn't get to go to the Arkansas Texas football game because Mr. McCall wanted to go look at where the cabins were going to be located. And that shows them up there in the woods there where they were located. This brings back a lot of fond memories. And, of course, one of the first things that I remember working on is this lookout right here.
Okay, so that was one of the first things you did?
Uh-huh. And from that lookout here, I'll show you some pictures. Here was a view from that lookout looking back toward the east, more or less. And is there? Can you see a person standing on a rock there someplace along in, on that one, or is it another view here, someplace? That's me. Maybe it's in another photograph I'm thinking of.
I can't then I was lost. Find anyone in this one.
Standing up on. Here's another view from that. From this lookout, looking down in the valley at the camp.
Oh, yeah. This is an excellent picture. You see the barracks? Wow.
There's another little shelter there.
There's a trail side.
There it is. Under construction.
Okay. Wow, that's amazing.
Devil's Den is a crevice over there in the mountains. I see this is back over in there where those crevices are.
Yeah.
And then those boys were there looking at it. Here's one of the big crevices. And I think I might have been in that bunch of fellows up there.
Okay.
These are mostly just trails and things that led from this around that ridge and across the creek up to the crevices over there at Devil's Den.
Okay.
And I believe this was a picture where you went down into Devil's Den.
Into the cave. Into the den.
I believe this might have been a picture of me right there.
Okay.
Back at that time. reason I was showing you these is because these are that path that leads from this outlook on over into that area. And I've lost so many, I'm upset about that, but this shows how, the size of those stones and that we picked up, and then the little fireplaces here.
Oh yeah, I've read that sometimes the CCC boys would look all day for one stone, just the right size. Is that right?
I don't remember that. Mr. Walker. I believe his name was Paul Walker, was a Mason superintendent down there. And I'd talk to him and we'd go out, I remember we'd go out and find stones, but I don't know that we looked all day for a single stone.
Well, that's what some people have, said, and I just wondered if that was really true.
There's a sign pictured in here someplace and here I think this is me right here on the right. That sign?
Oh, that's the one at the end of the vehicular bridge.
Oh, John.
Yeah. Oh.
And do you have the drawings on that sign? I have them here. They're pictured in it.
Probably. No, I didn't bring any sign blueprints. We have sign blueprints back at State Parks.
I'll find that other. Now here's what it looked like when we built the road. We were just on the hillside there. We just have to grade it out. Mm-hmm. I mean, just kind of do it by hand. And then to make back slope it there a little bit, cut it out like that.
Right.
And this just really shows for
road
construction work. This was a temporary one of those temporary garage buildings here.
Oh, okay.
In the valley. We did have an old grader like this. It was pulled for the tractor.
There was one like that up at Pelley's Ridge, too. There's a picture of that one, and
I worked on some work in Pelley's Ridge, but
really?
That was in Mr. Harding's office.
Oh, okay.
And you never did recover anything from Mr. Harding's office in the way of drawing?
Well, I don't know. I mean, there are a lot of his blueprints that we have for Devil's Den and Crowley's and Pettigee and Mount Nebo.
Uh-huh.
And I don't think he did anything for, like, Catherine.
I worked on those drawings for those four.
Okay.
Pettigee and Devil's Den
and
Nebo
and
Crowley's Ridge.
Okay. Yeah, we have, I mean, we have drawings. We may not have all of them. And, of course, we have no way of knowing how many, you know, blueprints were actually drawn up in the 30s for these parks. We were hoping maybe you could help us out with that, if you remember, like how many you all drew up for
Devil's Den. Well, no, see, I moved King on up here, and one of the ones I worked on after that was Devil's Den.
Uh-huh.
And what happened was that the Army decided they'd do away with the CCC unit
mm-hmm.
that I was assigned to as technical person. So they...
When was this? What year was
that
this?
That was bound to have been in about mid-35.
Okay.
And what C.B. Wiggins was the administrator for the, not civilian conservation, but for the resettlement administration, Department of Agriculture.
Mm-hmm.
He had had an office over at the university in Old Main on
mm-hmm.
the top floor.
Mm-hmm.
That was before they had a museum up there. And he heard about that camp number two being abandoned.
Mm-hmm.
And he came down there and employed the entire technical staff. And moved us all over to the university. He went to work with the Department of Agriculture on resettlement administration work out here west of at Weddington Lake.
I didn't realize the Army dissolved the Second Camp.
Uh-huh, they did. The mid-35.
Mm-hmm. What was their reasoning for that?
Well, they just didn't need that many boys down there, you see.
Mm-hmm.
We had a two duplicate centers.
Mm-hmm.
And I moved into Fayetteville
mm-hmm.
and lived in town
mm-hmm.
and worked over there until we got started again out there.
Mm-hmm.
Then we moved out there. I stayed out there at the wedding.
Mm-hmm.
But I was not there for about a year. And I was got married and people wanted, I just got playing around town. And that was about the year that Federal Home Administration came into existence
mm-hmm.
and the financing was available for homes.
Mm-hmm.
I had an opportunity to design some, and the job that T. Roy Reed was the administrator for the Resettlement Administration
mm-hmm.
in Starke, Arkansas. And Dr. Regals wanted to build a hospital down Prairie Grove.
Mm-hmm.
And they had dealt with a couple architects and for Smith, and they hadn't been able to get them a building to fit within their property, but
mm-hmm.
he had heard about the work that was going on out there. One day a man was injured severely, and they closed his doctor with Greek all in Prairie Grove, so they put him in a truck and rushed him over to Prairie Grove, and took care of him. We got him in the little hospital ahead over there. We're just a residence out there. Dr. Regal was asking this truck driver that had brought it over there about who was in charge of
mm-hmm.
the design and the planning out there. And he said, "Can you take him a message and ask him to come see me next weekend when he's off?" I got the message and I went out. They had the lot if I wanted. And you want to talk to me about the full hospital building.
Mm-hmm.
And so, in the meantime, I had told him I thought he could do it, but he couldn't do it in fireproof construction like most hospitals were.
Mm-hmm.
But if he would build it like this residential type, near masonry veneer construction, he could probably do it. But I was a bit experienced and hadn't done any commercial building or anything at that time, and so I was afraid to assure him positively that he could do it. So I contacted the contractor here in Fayetteville and told him and sketched off the type of plan and so forth and asked him if he thought he could build that for the budget that the doctor had. And he said he thought he could. So I took that information back to Dr. Regal, and so he wanted me to draw the plans. Well, I was going to charge a regular architectural fee, and these architects in Fort Smith that had heard about it, they complained to Mr. Reed, no one. So I just told him, well, I had about 2 months accumulated Reed established at that time. I never had taken anything out there with him. I just said, well, I'll just resign. And they said, oh, no, Mr. Wickham is the project superintendent. He said, you can't do that, Paul. We've got to do some buildings out here. And I said, well, I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll stay and do the plans for those buildings. And then I'm free. And I went down Little Rock and asked Mr. Reed if I could take my leave. And he said, no, that's just be your burden, Paul. So I just said, well, I'll stay and do the plans for Mr. Wickham for not over 2 months. And then I was going to resign. And I resigned into the little hospital building, made enough money to get married. And then, like I said, the Federal Home Administration came into existence, and people started wanting me to, and I never did get caught up from that time on until I retired about 10 years ago when I had quadruple heart block.
It's been going strong.
That's kind of the history of my life.
Well, okay, getting back to Devil's Den, you said you worked on the Overlook, the Trailside Shelter, the bridge, the bathhouse, and then some cabins.
All the cabins.
You worked on
all
the cabins?
All of them.
Okay. How many cabins were built at first? 15?
No, about 10. 9 or 10 of those. See, those just those permanent cabins that have the big stone around them, there are some that were all framed that were built later.
Okay, those were later.
Yeah.
Right. What about, now you said you worked on the lodge.
Yes, I did the lodge down there too, at Devil's Den.
Uh-huh.
Yes.
Okay, now my question is the lodge the same as the community building?
Yes, I think so.
Or the combination building?
Uh-huh.
Because on the plans it keeps coming up with different names, and the designs are essentially the same. And we were just kind of curious.
Yes.
Now, the plans for Devil's Den called for, I mean, they were just really impressive. Like, lots and lots of buildings and a large number of cabins, and most of that, well, or not most of it, but I guess a significant amount of it was not built.
I think it was built. Monetary reason.
Was it because of the money? Oh, okay.
They ran out of as a matter of fact, that and the fact that the Army withdrew one of the camps and took away half of the picture, half of the CCC boys.
Okay. Then that makes sense.
Uh-huh.
Because we always wondered, you know, what happened. Because, like, at later camps, like at Lake Catherine, you know, they were working on that in the late 30s, and work at Lake Catherine stopped because the war started, and they needed the men to join the Army. And but Devil's Den was so early. We were just kind of curious about that.
Well, I don't know why I did become acquainted in recent years, or 25 years ago, with a general in the Army, Bruce Kendall, and he was in that CCC organization. He was kind of over. Quite a few CCC camps, the Army personnel that ran the camp. And he retired back here in Fayetteville.
Mm-hmm.
And he was telling me about why they had to cut down and change. And he was the one that kind of gave me the idea that they removed that second camp from Devil's Den was because of monetary reasons.
I see. Okay.
And he's moved back to
Pennsylvania man lives all the way up there. He lost his wife. Mm-hmm. He was up there. He was up there. But he, you know, we used to reminisce and talk about those days back when we didn't know each other then. Got acquainted many years later.
Okay, now at Petitine, you said you worked on Mather Lodge.
Yes, but that was while I was in Mr. Harding's office in Little Rock and at the Capitol Building.
Okay.
Oh, then I went up there.
Right.
I was kind of helping supervise the construction. We worked there, and I was there when they were building the bathhouse and the lodge.
Oh, okay, so the bathhouse too.
Uh-huh. But I was not there long.
Right.
From the time I left Mr. Harding's office, well, I worked at the Capitol Building first, as I remember. Then I went to Mr. Harding's office.
Mm-hmm.
Then we worked there several months drawing plans on these different things. Then he sent me up there to Petitine, out there kind of supervising the construction of the lodge. On the lodge, when he came up and said, "You're going to open a new camp up at Devil's Den, we're going to send you up there."
Okay. Now you also said you worked on drawings for Mountain Evo. Do you remember?
I did very little.
Just
one building. I think it was a lookout of some kind. And there, a lookout building that's down there at the east end.
Okay.
And there, a building kind of separated from the other parts of Mount Nebo.
I think so. I think I know what you're talking about.
Oh, I think it was that building that I worked on, as I remember.
Honey,
this has been 50 years
ago.
Well,
I know. I understand that. And I mean, you know, whatever you can tell me is great.
Yeah.
You mean the big pavilion? Or a small lookout? A small shelter?
It was a small shelter.
Okay, a small shelter. I think I know which one you're talking about. Okay, now, and then you said you worked on a few drawings for Crowley's Ridge.
Yes, I worked on something at Crowley's Ridge, and I don't recall what the sign. It was very little, too. It was very little at Crowley's Ridge and very little at Nebo.
Okay. That's interesting. I had no idea you had done work for the other parks.
Mm-hmm.
That's great to know.
Well, it didn't amount to much.
Uh-huh. I went through and counted the designs that you drew that State Parks has, and there were 15 in Devil's Den that you did on your own, and then 20... that we have that you worked on with Tom Harding, and then one you did with Homer Fry.
With who?
Homer Fry.
Homer Fry.
Uh-huh.
That name rings a bell, but I can't place it.
And he was another architect who did work for Devil's Den.
He did work at Devil's Den?
Yeah.
He was assigned to the other camp then.
Okay.
Okay. Yes, I believe. I know that name rings a bell.
Okay, okay. now, do you think we have all the designs that you did, or do you know that you did more and they just disappeared, or can you remember that?
I can't remember.
Okay.
I think this is probably most of it, but you don't have all the cabins. You don't have many plans and cabins here.
I didn't bring everything, though.
Oh, you didn't?
No.
Well, I imagine you had the biggest part of it.
Okay. Okay. Well, we were just kind of uncertain about that.
Mm-hmm. I could kind of go through here that in place where I had marked these and show you things that I had did, that I didn't know whether that's what kind of information you wanted or not.
No, that's helpful. That would be great.
Well, there's a picture of Mr. McComb right here.
Uh-huh.
You know which one that is.
Yeah.
And, it was over here.
Uh-huh.
It was something I didn't know that you had this. And then, what's that?
Stone Construction Petitine.
No. Well, except in my reading method there. And this...
That's the master plan.
Is that Bob Kralik?
It's, Leo Diedrich.
Yeah, not Leo Diedrich.
And Hunter.
Yeah, yes, that's right. He was a landscape architect with the other camp, Diedrich, which was with the camp number one.
Okay.
And I was assigned to camp number two.
Mm-hmm. So you didn't have much contact with
with Dietrich, not like I did with Kralik.
Okay.
Kralik and I lived together. This is the building at Petazine that, like I said, that I did some work on. And
did you know David Hunter? He was probably, he might have been in the other camp too.
I think he was.
Okay. What about Rex Connor? Is that name familiar to you?
Rex Connor.
Mm-hmm. Okay. What about Cecil Doty? Cecil Doty, D-O-T-Y?
Yes, that rings a bell. I can't place it from the memory.
He, I guess, was another architect who did, he seemed to have done work for a number of different parks in the state system. And I just was curious if you...
I don't remember working there. But now there were other people that worked in the Capitol building out there at the same time I was.
Okay.
See, I was just brand new.
Uh-huh.
On the... And there's, like I said, that's the superintendent that I was under, the park superintendent, and the doctor under the army set up.
Mm-hmm.
There's that, here's that same picture I showed you there a moment
ago. Right.
And this is the bridge up here, and that, that stone that killed the, rolled over on the boy and killed him, is over there at the north end of that bridge right there.
Okay.
And, then, this is, that's Bob Kralik's work there. That's his visitation to the lodge down there.
Mm-hmm.
And here's the dam, the lake. And we were going down the road, we just went right across in here like that. And that was where I was injured for a fall in there in that truck that day. I didn't know they'd had so much trouble with the logs rotting around here and me being replaced, but I knew it's on this pavilion here that all of this, this was all framed with big logs, the rafters and the roof structure, but it's all been replaced with, you know, the two-wire cut.
Right.
And the shingles, we split the handshake shingles, both shingles, ourselves. And, but when they reached, we did it while they used bulk wood shingles or asphalt.
They, parks right now, the state park system is trying to go back and correct a lot of the things that they did wrong when they were, you know, doing upkeep on on the CCC structures. Like, I don't know if you're, if you know this, but they've done a lot of work at Petagene renovating the cabins, trying to take them back to, you know, what they look like when they were first built. And they're doing that, in fact, at all the parks that were built by the CCC.
Now, there, this building is still down there. I think they've been, that was a dog trot originally through there.
And I think they've turned in, turned one of the bedrooms into a kitchen.
And this one is there. But now, see, there was about 10 of these buildings that nature, the ones that had the stone up to the windowsill, are all the way up even. There's one here that,
That one, and I
know that that was one of them. And here's the bathhouse under construction.
Okay.
You have that. This is the, I remember that was one of the permanent ones.
Mm-hmm.
Now this is the one I think, well, that's the bathhouse there. That's still what the cabin I'm thinking about. But then after the cabins, we did the, you know, paths and fireplaces and benches and little bridges. I did a little bridge there that's a whole lot like the one that, not the Kralik, but what's it, this one here?
Harold Marsh.
Marsh. He did one, and this is not the one that he did, which is pictured right here.
Oh, okay, that
this is a different bridge than this one. You can see the difference in the design.
Right.
This there, I think that's me.
Okay.
In that picture right there. And this, then see this one here has the big stone up that says Egypt.
Right. We have the prints for this bridge.
But you don't, do you know where that bridge is?
No, I don't.
I don't know where this bridge was ever constructed or not. But this is one here that I have the drawings, I think, this bridge.
I think, let's see, do we?
No, I think we have the drawings out there for that. And then
there's the old one.
Yeah. That's one that's been publicized. You know, have you ever seen that little a tablet that's mounted there that has a, it's weatherproof for outside exposure? It has a picture of somebody standing there?
I think so.
Yeah. I think that's me.
Oh, okay.
On that thing, but I'm not for sure. But I know I did the plans for that. Now here's that little lookout, shelter. It is. What we call a shelter? Yes, overlook shelter. We did that. We built it. I showed the photographs of it there a while ago. And then there's that sign that I showed you where the three fellas sitting by it.
Right.
And I think it's a little different. It was when it was built and when it was drawn.
Yeah, I wanted to ask you about that. You know, we've noticed that, okay, you've got this design, but then what they built isn't like the design. So what happened?
I don't remember.
Was it just when you got to building it, did you decide, oh, well, this isn't practical, we need to do something else? Or
I don't think so. I think it's just trying to get more accomplished, and this is not the one they built. It's not as elaborate as this.
Oh, okay, I see. Well, then that makes sense. It saved time.
It saved time and expense.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's about it. Yeah. Sorry, this is one of these pictures. I think you've seen all of them.
Yeah, she showed me these. Now, you talked about Mr. McComb and the first time you met him. And he told you what he wanted to do, or what the National Park Service wanted to do for with the state parks in Arkansas. Can you kind of talk about that a little?
Well, I was just interested in what was being done. I was working for a boy that was trying to make a living to support his wife and little baby over there in that film station and help him. And, of course, I was interested in eventually getting involved in construction and design, architectural design work. And I just told him about my interest in it and everything. He said, well, bring some of your work and come out and let me see what you can do. Because we're going to be employing technical personnel,
right.
That's what he called it at the time. I went out and took old work from school. I attended Washington University in St. Louis. It was in about the near, I would consider going to Illinois, but it was further from Little Rock. And,